Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'm going to be reading the first verse. Some of you know we lost our dear brother Randy this last week, and we buried him on Wednesday, and that just brings an awful lot of things to mind, you know, and I know that Randy's in a better place, and there's a lot of truths that we need to remind ourselves about, so I'm going to talk about a little bit about it today. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, you will notice that it talks a little more about it than the first verse. I'm not only going to talk about the first verse, but like if you read the second verse, it says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, and because that's the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. But now look at that first verse. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Proverbs quite often will give you two parallelisms, something is better than something else, and it'll put them both together. Usually one of them is very obvious, and the second one is, you know, what he's trying to get across. And in this one, the one that's very obvious is a good name is better than precious ointment. Now, ointment doesn't seem precious to me, but back in those days, they had ointments that had certain smells to them. I call them stinks, but they called them smells back in those days. And they were very precious. They were very expensive. And they would hold on to them for their reasons, for the smell of these ointments. Very special ointments that they had that were very precious and had a lot of value. And so he says, a good name is better than that. All right, so a good name, a good reputation is better than luxury. Is that obvious? Well, of course it's obvious. Luxury is not as important as having a good reputation. And also, you need to remember that a reputation is not the same thing as everybody speaking well of you. A good reputation is not the same thing as people who don't know you talking good about you. Nor does it have anything to do with people who don't know you talking bad about you. It also has nothing to do with people's ideas. If they don't like the way you think or the way you talk, if they don't like something about you, that's not the same thing as you having a bad reputation. Reputation has to do with your character. And what it is people who know you say, he has a good character, that's a good reputation, that's a good name, and that's more valuable than being rich.
Amen.
All right, that's obvious. I'm not going to preach on that. That's what's obvious. And, you know, maybe we need to preach on that a little bit, because some people think that your reputation doesn't matter and that money is all that matters. And boy, are they wrong. But I'm not going to preach on that. The second part of that is what he's trying to get you to believe. And what he says here is, the second part of it is, the day of death is better than the day of birth. And that's a hard one. That's counterintuitive. That's what you think. Well, wait, oh, slow down. In what way is the day of death better than the day of your birth? We all celebrate birthdays. We celebrate presidents' birthdays. But we don't celebrate presidents' death days, because we don't think in those terms. We don't think the day of death is better than the day of birth. The day of birth is full of promise. It's full of joy. The day of birth is something you celebrate every year of your life, unless you're very forgetful. The day of birth seems like a thing of joy and celebration, and the day of death seems like something heavy and burdensome, and you don't want to remember it. And we shut it out of our mind when we've lost a loved one or something like that. It's a hard thing, and yet Solomon is making a claim here that the day of death is better than the day of birth. And that's a hard thing to prove. It's going to be hard for you to believe it. And I want to point out, it's not true about everybody.
Amen.
It's only true about believers. It ain't true about everybody. So I want to consider four cases. Four cases. Number one, unbelievers who don't believe it. unbelievers. They don't believe the gospel. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in, they hate religion. They're non-religious. They're whatever. They're unbelievers, and they certainly do not believe this. They don't believe that the day of their death is better than the day of their birth. They think of death as the end of all, and it's just the scourge of humankind and the scourge of everything. Or they'll be sort of resigned about it and say, it's just the way things are. It's the circle of life. And they'll try to come up with some philosophy that makes them feel better. But they don't believe it, and they are accidentally right, but for the wrong reason. Number two, unbelievers who do believe this, they can't wait to die. Some of them are trying to kill themselves, but they're wrong. Their day of death is not better than the day of their birth. Number three, there are believers in Christ, who don't believe this. They don't believe that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Everything they live for is in this life. There are believers, and they are wrong. And number four, there are believers, hopefully a whole lot of us in this room, who really do believe that the day of our death is going to be better than the day of our birth. Amen. And we're right.
Amen.
And I'm going to explore why. Okay, let's start off just making it clear. He gives a reason. Here he says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. That's the end of all men, and people lay it to heart. The reason why going to a funeral is better for you than going to a party is because you think things over that you need to think over. And if you just go to the party all day, all time, if you're just a party animal and all you want to do is just ignore all the important stuff and go to parties, well, then you're going to overlook the important things in life. But if you'll go to the house of mourning at least once in a while, it'll make you lay it to heart. It'll make you think clearer, right? But this thing about the day of death being actually better than the day of birth, this is something that is true for believers because of real reasons. And I want to consider these four cases here. Lord, I want you to bless us this morning. We don't have the way to get to the heart of people, but you do, Lord. You can change people's minds. You can make them see things they have never seen before. We ask you to use your word this morning and do that in somebody's heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, there are unbelievers. These are, what do you call them, cynical critics. They're anti-religious. They might even call themselves atheists. They don't believe the Bible. They're not interested in spiritual things. They might call themselves materialists. They think that all that exists is matter. All that exists is matter. And that means they don't think they even have a mind. Because all it is matter. They think the mind is an illusion. They think it's just, you know, things firing in your brain. That's all they think your mind is. They are so materialistic in their outlook that they can't see anything beyond matter, beyond the physical. And so in their mind, life is just about enjoying, just about doing what's natural and just whatever comes, just enjoy it. And then when you die, it's all over. It's done. You're finished. It's over. You just turn back into the ground, into the dirt, and you become food for the next generation. That's all that they think life is about. And they are so wrong in so many other ways of thinking. It's almost absurd to even argue with them, because how can you not believe that there is a mind, that you have a personality, that you're a person, that you've got, and that there is such a thing as right and wrong, and that these things matter way more than the matter in the universe? Obviously, way more. It's something else. I'm telling you, they think this life is all that there is. And so when they say day of death is worse than the day of life, than the day of birth, then when they know that it's true, they say that it can't be, that the day of death is not better, and they know that this can't be, they disagree with it, but they are right for the wrong reason. They don't realize they're going to be judged. And if you're going to be judged after this life, You're going to be held accountable for the way you think in life and what you do in life and the way you treat God in this life and the way you treat each other in this life. You're going to be held accountable. And when you reach that day where you meet God and are held accountable for your wicked works, your day of death is going to be worse. You're going to be worse off. Just like in the laws of harvest, you always reap later than what you sow. And you always reap more than what you sow. Right?
Amen.
They don't believe there's any God. They don't believe there's any judgment. And they don't believe that there's any purpose or morality in life. And so they think that the worst thing that is possible is death. But death is not the worst thing possible. Jesus himself said, all live unto God, and that God is going to raise every single person up to account for their own life. They're going to face judgment, so their day of death is going to be worse than their life because they're going to receive the due reward of their deeds.
Amen.
Boy, you don't want that.
No.
Nobody in here should want to get the due reward of their deeds because we're sinners.
Amen.
And these people, they're sinners too. They don't believe sin exists. They don't think there is such a thing as real right and wrong. They're just unbelievers. They're just so skeptical about everything. And yet they don't realize they do. They're making decisions every day that go against God. And they have not regarded God's work. They have not regarded God's desire or His will. They don't even look at nature and say, nature made it this way. We ought to obey nature. They don't even obey nature. They think just any old thing goes. If it feels good, do it. That's their idea. Just want to live for pleasure. They're hedonists. Just live for whatever you can get out of this life. And some of them actually do live a decent life compared to the rest of us. They're not much worse than the rest of us, but they're not getting their morality from their philosophy. They're getting their morality from looking around. They know they have to live a certain way or somebody's going to put them in jail. And that's the reason why they live a certain way. But it's not because they've recognized they owe God something. And it's not even because they recognize they owe you something. Because if there is no God and there is no reason and there is no purpose and this is just all a big cosmic accident, which is completely absurd. But if that were true, then there's absolutely no reason to do anything right or good. Just live for pleasure. Just live for yourself. And that's one of the worst ways you can live.
Amen.
It is such a dead-end, dull, dark way of living. I really feel sorry for them. But anyway, they are right. Their day of death is going to be worse, but not because they cease to exist. But it's because they face judgment. And when they face judgment, God is angry. God is not just, half-hearted about this. He thought it was very good. He thought something was good that he did. And you didn't care. You didn't regard. You didn't love it. You didn't obey God. You weren't even interested in God. And how many times he called you and you rejected the call like it was a mosquito buzzing around your ear. But God was saying, hey, wake up. You went to funerals, didn't you? And God was saying, wake up. But you didn't wake up. You never looked for him. You never regarded him. You didn't care about his will. And when people praised him, you laughed at him. You scorned him. You scoffed. You thought that was junk. You thought we were stupid. You even called us stupid. Yeah, you did. Do you know that God has been watching all of that? God has been watching all of your disdain. He's been watching your dismissal. People live they try to live a worshipful religious life and how you have despised them. You think God hasn't noticed your mocking? Even the Bible talks about in the chapter on faith, he talks about the Christians or the believers who persevered through cruel mockings. That's what it says. Cruel mockings. So when you mock the believer, when you mock the Christian, you don't realize God's paying attention. God's watching and he's keeping an account and you're going to be held to account You're going to have to face God. And he's going to say, why did you mock him? And why did you disregard me? And why did you treat the Bible like it was a wicked book? My goodness, God's got some... He's got something that he's going to say to you someday, and it's going to make you realize your life has been good up to now, but now you face judgment, and your life is not going to be good. Jesus said you would be better off to live in this life maimed, crippled, and blind than wind up completely healthy and fall into a place called hell. He said, your life, if it was horrible, if you were maimed, if you were blind, if you were crippled, if you were living in this life under tremendous oppression and severity and problems, if that happened to you and yet you didn't go to hell, then this life was good enough. But if you had such a wonderful life and you had all of your health and you had prosperity and everything went your way and you lived a long life and then you wound up in hell, he says, boy, that those days of darkness are long. Amen. That's what the Bible says, even Ecclesiastes right here. This book says it. He should remember that the days of darkness are coming. All right. That's the first case that I wanted you to consider. They're right, but they don't have the right reasons. They're wrong in their reasoning. They are confused about why death for them is going to be worse than life has been. Now, number two, I want to talk about unbelievers who actually do believe this. They believe that the day of death is better than the day of birth. And the reason why is because they are depressed. They are in despair. They're hurting. I don't know if you've ever met anybody like that, but some people are truly depressed. I was preaching downtown, over down here at one of the bus stops, and preached my whole message through, and there was one young lady that was just sitting there, kind of looking down the whole time, but ever so often looking up at me. So when I got done, I went over to her, and she just was so depressed. She says, my life is just a waste. My life is just, it's just so depressing. I can't even hardly get up. I don't even know what to do. And so I got a Bible study with her, and Deb and I, we went over to her apartment, and we were talking to her about all these things, and she had talked about how her dad's mad at her, and all kinds of things. She just had a pretty miserable life. Of course, it was miserable, you know, relatively speaking. she was eating well, and she had a job, and things were doing well, and she had a father who cared about her, but they just weren't getting along right now. But anyway, she was depressed, and I told her, if all you're living for is this life, you have every reason to be depressed. That just means you're thinking straight. Now a psychiatrist will tell you that it's mental illness if you're depressed. But as far as I can tell, if all you're living for is this life, it's not mental illness if you're depressed. That's just you're thinking straight. This life is burdensome if there is nothing to it. If there is no serious reason for it, if there is nothing to live for, if you have no objective, if it's just get up to do the same thing over and over and over for the rest of your life until you get old and die, no wonder you're depressed. I got depressed when I was a teenager because I thought, what am I living for? There's nothing here. There's nothing to live for. It's just do the same thing over and over again. And then when you die, it's all forgotten. You just lose it all. I got depressed. That's when I was thinking straight. It's not mental illness. It's that you're thinking straight. Your life stinks if you don't know Jesus. But some people, I don't know if you know it, but most people's lives have not been as blessed as American lives. We live a dream here, folks. Now, we got a whole lot of college kids that don't realize it. They think our place is all oppressive and whatever, and they really wish they could live in Cuba.
Or North Korea,
yeah. I vote we send them over there. Just for a year. Just for a year. We just send them there for a year. They'll come back appreciative of American life. But let me tell you something. Most people during all of history have not had it so good. They've worked in the mines. They've worked in the fields. They've worked as slaves. They've worked as second-class citizens or third-class or like untouchables in India, where they're just the lowest class and nobody wants to touch them. They can't invite them into their home. They can't help them. They can't do anything for them because they're pieces of trash. That's all they are. And that's all they have been. That's all they ever will be. That's all their children will be forever. They live under oppression. Because all the mighty, even this book of Ecclesiastes talks about it. He says, I saw the cry of the oppressed and they had no comforter. And that's what people see in this life. They see in this life that there's nobody to save them. There's nobody to stand up for them. They don't have any political champions. They don't get the vote. They don't have anything to live for. There's nothing that they're hoping for, saying maybe in this next generation, maybe in 10 years, things will be better. They can't wait and hope that somebody will come and deliver them from this evil. They know that all their life they're going to be just that, just what they are. How about all them slaves that lived in the United States, slaves that they saw their children taken from them when they were young? And they knew they would never see him again. Can you imagine a mama like that saying, I wish I was dead? I can imagine that. That makes perfect sense. I can see why she'd say, this life is no good. What's the good of this life? I can see why they'd be depressed and in despair and say, why, God, why? Why in the world would you do this to me? I'd rather be dead. And that's the way Job felt. Job lost all of his children in one day and all of his wealth in one day. And then he lost his health and he's sitting there just scraping at himself, waiting to die. And he was thinking, I can't wait. I'm ready to die. My death will be a blessing. It'll be a blessing for me if I were to die. That makes sense. But they're wrong. Even those folks out there that have lived under oppression all their years and they see no hope in the future, they're also wrong, because as long as you have life, you've got hope. As long as you're alive, God still is talking. God still is calling. God still is working out things. Let me tell you something. Even if you have a horrible life, even if you're a stump, even if you're a running sore, even if you're just, you're bent over and crippled and hurt and blind and you don't know why you're still here because God says there's hope if you're living. Amen. There's something to live for. You see, because it has to do with faith. So these people think death would be preferable to life, but they're wrong. And if they don't know Jesus Christ, this sputtering life that they have, this painful, burdensome life that they have, is still hope that somebody will tell them the gospel and they can be saved. And if they live this burdened and horrible life all their life, but get saved, man, that's a joy. That's salvation. That's an eternal benefit. You hung on until you got saved. Well, I can see it. You know, some people, they're living right now the consequences of their own decisions. Amen. There are people who wasted their lives in drunkenness, and now they're suffering. I've told the story before, but Joey got a Bible study by a fella who lived over there by the tracks. We were preaching on the tracks. He got a Bible study on one, and I got a Bible study on another. And one time he was out of town, and I had to go to his Bible study. And this was a fella who was dying of kidney disease. He had all kinds of problems, I think diabetes and other problems and liver problems, and he was dying of kidney and liver and I don't know, but he had to do the inexpensive type of blood transfusion. I'm not even sure if that's what it's right. If you're a medical professional, don't get on me. I'm not a medical professional and I stay away from doctors as much as I can. So, but he had a bag that they would give him, and every day he would raise that bag up while he's laying in bed and it would drain slowly into his side, and then toward the end he would drop it back down and it would drain back out. And that's how he stayed alive for the last 6 months of his life. And I was there giving him his Bible study, and he was doing all that, and he looked at me and he said, Memo, that's what they call me there, Memo, he says, if anybody had told me, man, I would have never started drinking. I told him, Manuel, they told you.
Yeah.
They told you. Your mama told you. Your friends told you. Hey, the government puts ads on the TV that tell you. They tell you not to drink. They say to drink responsibly. You know how to drink responsibly? Don't drink. They told you. And now you're living the consequences of your own decisions. You may be living the consequences of your own decisions. You may be divorced. You may have kids that hate you. You may have lost your job. You may be poor. You may have all kinds of health problems. And it might be all your fault. And you might be at the point where you say, I don't want to live any longer. But let me tell you something. You're wrong. You need to find Jesus Christ and find out the joy that it is to have your life restored, even your mind restored. There's salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. So you're wrong. The truth is, the day of death can be better than the day of birth, even in your case. All right. They are. That's true. And you know, there are some that are ancestral sins. Did you know if you sin now, your descendants are going to suffer? There are people right now all over the world suffering because of their ancestors. I guess I'm not going to get into that. That'll take me too long. But you know, it's true. And if they're suffering because of their ancestor sin, you ought to wake up. Don't give your kids any problems. Why don't you serve the Lord? Why don't you give your life to the Lord and find out what He has to offer? Because it's better. You don't have to live in cynicism and despair and depression. You can live in joy even if you're sick. Even if you're suffering. Number three, there are believers who don't believe this statement. Even though about them it's true, so they're wrong. They're wrong. They think that their life is what's important. This life is what's important. And the day of their death is when they lose it all. And they do. They lose everything they've lived for when they die. It all burns up. It all is gone. It all is forgotten because they are Christians who do not realize this life is not where it's at. Man, I guess we ought to start off with the idiot preachers who preach it this way. And there's a bunch of them. Just turn on the TV. I don't know. Does anybody watch TV anymore? It's like it's all streaming now. They're looking at their phones. But there are preachers on TV that will tell you that it's really all about you getting prosperous now. Hey, God wants you to have a wonderful life right now. That's what's important. Just have a good life right now. And if you'll send me money, you'll have a good life. I say they're idiot preachers. They're probably just fraudulent. They might not believe the nonsense they say. But I assume some of them might actually believe it. But they are stupid. It doesn't work anywhere else except in wealthy societies. Anywhere else, it does. The prosperity gospel does not work. And these are liars. They're interested in your stuff. They want your money. Just like the marketers who advertise things on TV. They want your money. That's all it's about. They don't have any reason to tell you the truth about the thing they're peddling. They have no reason to tell you the truth about it. They just want to convince you to give. Ah, I tell you what, man. But you know, there are actually good preachers who really talk about salvation as if it's to make this life wonderful. God has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants you to just live the best life you can. And there are preachers right now that are saying that God wants you to live your best life. What if God wants you to suffer? To wake you up. The Bible says He suffered them to hunger to see what was in their heart. Maybe God wants you to suffer. You ever cross your mind that God might not want you to have the wonderful life? Just because you're American, you think you ought to be able to have the wonderful life. And I get it. God has blessed us in many ways. It's amazing. But Christians all over the world know that God did not call them to be rich. God did not call them to be healthy. That was not about it. He was wounded for our transgressions, and by His stripes we are healed. But that's about salvation. That's not about never being sick. God is not interested in Christians who can only serve Him when they're healthy.
Right.
He wants Christians that will serve Him even when they're sick.
Amen.
Man, of course. You know what Jesus said? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. And if you're a Christian and you do not believe that the day of your death is going to be better than the day of your birth, if you don't believe that, you're missing something. You're missing out on what's important in the Christian life. The Christian life is not about getting it all here. Having everything here, being healthy and having your full life, and I mean being healthy until you're 90, right before you die. I'm just amazed at how people are so interested in having a good full 80 or 90 years. When you stop and think about it, that's just not a long time. You better be looking at something beyond that. What's the point? I heard somebody say that if you would exercise 2 hours a day, it would add 5 years to your life. But if you add up 2 hours a day, that's almost 5 years right there. Seriously, people, this is not where it's at. If you're a Christian and you think the day of your death is going to be a horrible, sad day, oh, I'm going to lose it all, then you ought to start rethinking your life. You ought to make some different priorities. You ought to change up the way you think. Because this life is not where it's at. God never intended this to be your entire existence. He's got something else prepared for you. There is an ultimate emptiness in health and wealth. Everyone who has health and wealth knows that there's an emptiness there. You need something else.
Amen.
In fact, I know some of them that have had that time where they laid it to heart and they've just given away everything and gone out and tried to serve other people. Because they realize health and wealth is not where it's at. Many a missionary has given their life on a foreign field because they knew there was nothing in this life worth serving for. So, Christians, if you don't believe this, that the day of your death is better than the day of your birth, then you need to rethink your life. You might ought to get yourself right, do some repenting, do some real crying before God, saying, God, what am I doing wrong? I want to look forward to the day I meet you. So that brings me to the fourth one, and that is people who believe the gospel, and they also believe this verse from Solomon, who says, the day of your death is the better day.
Amen.
The day when you stop this life and move on to the next, that's the real graduation day.
Amen.
That's the day you're going to be celebrating. That's the day when things change for the good. Because the day of your birth was a day, the Bible talks about, going through trouble and adversity. You live 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80, and there's trouble and adversity in all those years. There's trial, and there's no rest for the weary. There's no rest for the wicked. All right, I'm going to tell you, if you're a believer and you know it's true that the day of your death is better than the day of your birth, I'm going to give you the reasons why. Number one, deliverance. Number two, sight. Number three, expectation. And number four, fellowship. You know it. First of all, deliverance. The day you die, you are delivered.
Amen.
The first of all, you're delivered from this evil world. And if you ever get tired of marketers telling you a story about stuff, don't you get tired of junk mail?
No.
Junk mail will say, urgent, open immediately. If it says urgent, open immediately, throw it in the trash. It is not urgent. It is meaningless. I get tired of liars. I get tired of politicians.
Yeah.
Don't you get tired of them? I just get tired of them. Just shut up. Go away.
Amen.
They're just liars. Man, I get tired. You know, but I also get tired of hearing the news. I get tired of hearing about somebody that took some young kid and took him out there and abused him sexually and then strangled him and buried him in a shallow grave. Oh, I get tired of that.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be delivered from this evil world.
Amen.
I can't wait for that to go away. I can't wait for it to be changed and made better.
Amen.
Boy, I'm tired of all the wickedness in this world. I'm tired of all the evil. I'm tired of the sickness that's out here.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing else you're going to be delivered from. You're going to be delivered from the evil that's in your nature.
Amen.
Because everything you hate about everybody else, it's in you too.
Amen.
There it is. It's always there. It's always sneaking up. I mean, it's everything. Everything is in you, whether it's sexual lust, and I mean all the wicked stuff, and it's in your mind, and you know it is. There's no point in pretending you're holy. Come on, you know what you are.
Amen.
Don't put on a show for us. We're wicked.
Amen.
I can't wait to be delivered.
Amen.
I want real deliverance. The Bible talks about the redemption of our bodies. You know, God hasn't given up on that old junk body of yours. Some of your bodies are falling apart right here, literally. We have to pick up after you. Pick up a foot, pick up a leg, pick up something because you walked off without it. Your bodies are falling apart, but God hasn't given up even on that body. He says he's going to resurrect it and make it new.
Amen.
Oh, you're going to be delivered from the evil that's in your nature, and your own body is going to be risen and made all new.
Amen.
And you're going to be able to fly.
Amen.
Maybe that's not what thrills you, but I can't wait to fly. I tell my wife, I want to buy me an ultralight. She says, no way, you ain't buying no ultralight. That's how John Denver died. But that seems like the way to go. All right, the first reason why the day of your death is better than the day of your birth is because you're going to be delivered on that day. The second reason is because you're going to see on that day. Because right now it's by faith. You haven't seen God. No man hath seen God at any time. The Bible says so. Don't tell me you saw Jesus. Don't tell me that. The Bible says you didn't. But let me tell you something. Someday you're going to see God. You know what Job said? He said, I know that in my flesh, even after the worms have consumed this body, in my flesh, I shall see God. I shall behold him with my eyes.
Amen.
You're going to see God. You're going to meet your maker. All this faith, all these years you've had to believe, you had to have these doubts, the second guessing, everybody saying, prove it. How do you know? And you don't know. You can't prove it. You just can't wait to see God. And when you see God, all the doubts disappear. They're gone. You see him for yourself. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. Woohoo! I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see all the hopes that we've had all come to pass. I can't wait to see. That brings me to the third thing. Not only are you going to be able to see, we have expectations.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I do not believe heaven's going to be all of us sitting on clouds playing harps naked. That's not what I think of heaven. I think heaven has got some surprises for us. I think God's got something going on, and he wants us to participate in it. He even says he's going to have all kinds of things for us to do. He says, I'm going to give you 10 cities. I'll give you one city. No, you none. You just clean the trash. But I'm going to take care of all of you. You're going to have stuff to do. There's stuff to do. Man, God says you're going to be endlessly useful. Woo, that's going to be good. Do you have any expectations? I know in the Bible it talks about streets of gold. I couldn't care less about the streets of gold. I don't even care much about gold right now. I don't care about the streets of gold, but I can't wait to see everything that's coming.
Amen.
There's something coming. Did you know God's got something better for you? You know he's preparing something better for you? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the fourth one. The reason why it's better the day of your death than the day of your birth is because you'll be in the presence of God.
Amen.
The presence of God means fellowship with God. The Bible says, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. He wants to eat with you. He wants to talk with you. And like I've said many times, I said it at the funeral recently, I've said it many times behind this pulpit, the truth is, I can understand why I would want to sit with God and listen to him, but I don't know why he wants to sit with me and listen to me. I don't understand it, but boy, he says he's going to make me appropriate for it. He says he's preparing it all for it, for that day when we all eat together in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's what he said. The day of your death is better than the day of your birth. If you can't quite see it, it's true. It's true. The day of your death is better than the day of your birth. Lord, thank you for your blessing, your true word that you